Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Today you'll be listening to the keynote address given by Daniel Lim at the 2018 summit in Kansas City, Missouri.
I am going to take about 10 minutes or so to give you a presentation to set in context. And it's going to look like a 90-degree turn from the flow of the summit so far, which I would call it deep and real. I think the Lord has been inviting us into a very deep and real conversation. And now, I'm going to make a 90-degree turn into something that seemingly looks more sterile and mechanics and strategic in nature. But it is important for us to understand why God is doing what He's doing now at this hour, especially why is He resetting a 20-year-old prayer movement that has been sustained for 20 years with 24/7 vibrancy. So I'm going to ask Blair to help me with the PowerPoint. I've been studying the movements, various movements, whether it's revival movement or church planting movement or the prayer movement in church history for many years now. And I also has been studying our own organizational development. As a CEO, I have the frontline seat to be able to observe the dynamic from the inside and the outside of the organization. And being in the organization that have a movement flavor and a movement influence, I realized that that movement could be divided generally into five general phases. Now, this is generalization. You can divide them even further if you want to. But generalization helped give language into what we observe in reality. These five phases describe a typical biological growth curve, which look like this, and then goes up this, and then flatten a little bit. And if you do it right, it repeats again. It goes for another time, and then flatten, and it goes again. But it doesn't always go this way, because sometimes it goes this way, it never grew. When the movement grow like this, and then it goes up, and then it kind of flatten a little bit, this is a description of a healthy, vibrant movement. Only a healthy growth will have that sort of a curve. An unhealthy growth could have this kind of a curve or this kind of a curve, you know, all kinds of other curves. But the healthy, even the healthy one will flatten at the end. There's a maturity stage that come along. And so there are five phases that is involved in a vibrant movement. And for a prayer movement that's hitting a 20-year milestone, this is particularly meaningful to us. There's an initial birthing phase that's sparked by some catalytic event, an urgent moment, and also a very charismatic personality with a divine moment from the Lord. And when that thing is birthed, if it's right and sustained with sufficient fuel, we will enter into an acceleration phase where the movement will experience a lot of people jumping on, and it will go through exponential growth, not by addition, but by multiplication. But because of the nature of the fast multiplication of the movement, it will reach a saturation point that demand maturity. It's called the maturation phase. And then, after a while, if the maturation phase continue, it looks like a plateau that's ongoing for a while. Decline and challenges will set in, and the movement will have to answer a set of questions that determine whether the movement will decline and eventually fizzle out or be sidelined or even die, or continue on in a survival mode and grow in a steady pace, or again accelerate. So usually movement adopt two kinds of, I would not say is something that's deliberate, is either initiated by the Lord or is strategically positioned, no matter where the starting point is. There are many things that could go wrong after the maturation phase. But usually, movement cannot go on in this plateau for a while. Movement will be forced to make a choice. And a lot of time, movement choose a path of survival called institutionalization, which means taking the vibrancy of the organic fluidness that give birth to the fast, vibrant movement and turn it into a formula that is predictable. In other words, instead of fluidness and vibrancy, it becomes mechanics. Because mechanics is predictable, we need standardization. When standardization comes in, diversity goes out. Because you can only cope with certain amount that you endorse, and you have to say, this is not me. So institutionalization set in. And some of you hear, institutionalization, I don't want that. But you'll be surprised by how many of the legacy movement and organization who are still alive today impacting life because they got institutionalized. So institutionalization is not necessarily an evil word, but we must know there's a lot of setbacks that and baggages that comes with institutionalization. If we don't get institutionalized, the risk of the movement fizzling out and die is actually quite high. Because you're not capturing the message, you're not systematizing your theology, you are not systematizing the reproduction methods such as training and all that. So I want to give you a very good example. Even vibrant movements such as the Azusa Street Revival in 1906 that gave birth to the Pentecostal movement, the main movement that is so solid in our midst, the Church of God and the Assembly of God, the reason why we still have a lot of them is because, in fact, they grow, they institutionalize. They have seminary, they have university, they have a world mission organization. And there are many other Pentecostal streams that started in the early 20th century that's not with us anymore. Because things, the good core essence of the movement were not captured. So what I'm trying to say to you is institutionalization is not necessarily all negative, but it has a serious setback. So if we resist institutionalization, what are our option? Our option is actually refreshing, reset. So I believe that all that God is doing by the Holy Spirit, really, all the flow right now, we're just trying to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and we will experience this together at a One Thing conference. I believe God put a big red reset button to IHOP. It's because we are at this tipping point where when the Lord take our hand and put it on the reset button, He is kicking us back to a rebirthing state, back to the birthing channel, the birthing chamber. There is a reality that creates another opportunity for acceleration, but the growth is not real. The goal is not really about acceleration, it's about retaining the healthy thing and strengthening the things that remain and removing the fluff and then let it grow again. Okay, so I'm going to go to the next slide. Now, I will have these 23 slides all sent to you. I will not go through them because my heart right now is in a theory mode on the inside. I'm trying to contain it. I'm in a deep and real mode, but I have to do this presentation. There's an internal dissonance on the inside. So I'm trying to act mechanical right now. So bear with me for 3 more minutes. All right. So in the slide, you will realize that in order for us to understand the stewardship of the movement God put you in or entrusted to you to lead, there's often 3 areas we have to pay attention to. Number one is what catalyzes the movement and what caused the movement to be built up. Second thing is the context of which the movement was birthed into. And the third one is the momentum, studying the momentum, the pace the thing is growing. And if you hear from the panel attentively, you will hear that faster is not always better. And the definition of fast is very truncated, is very earthbound, because the way the Lord measures speed is not the way we measure speed. In fact, if the organic body grows in a non-synchronized way, the part that is growing way too fast compared to the rest of the part of the cell, we have a name for that kind of phenomenon. It's called cancer. Cancer is basically uncontrollable growth and multiplication of cell in the part of your organ that you don't need it to grow. So growth itself is not necessarily all good. all healthy, it has to be in sync with the right pace. So we have context and the birthing momentum. So every single phase, we have elements within these three sections that will inform us to and help us calibrate our way as we study where we're at in each phases of our movement. So why are we doing this, and why are we giving this as a tool to you as we walk through these lessons of a 20-year milestone? Because we need to understand where we're at. When the Lord initiates a movement and we respond, there is a corporate dynamic in our individual decision. And the better we can understand the corporate dynamics, we will be laboring in sequence with the Lord to understand where we're at. And I, over the years, for me, one of the hardest things to do as a steward, as a servant leader in an organization, is to calibrate the synchronization of pace. It's not even direction. If two people running together in the same direction, if they are not on the same pace, they will never see one another. If one person is dashing at 100 meter kind of speed, and the other one is jogging slower than a marathon pace, they could be running on the same road, but they will never meet one another. Synchronization of pace is one of the hardest things to do in leadership when you lead a movement and organization. But we need to discern, and in order to discern, we need to understand. So in summary, why are we go back to slide number one, the five phases. The reason I believe that the reset is so valuable to us, and the Lord planned it ahead of time, because 3 years ago in 2016, we said that 2016, 17, 18, the Lord, you're giving us a 3-year storyline. Year one, we want to encourage the people in the church to build the culture of prayer within the leaders. The leaders need to know how to live. Lou said that at 66, I'm asking myself, where am I at with my own prayer life? If Lou Ingo is asking that question, all of us need to be asking that question. How do we sustain a deep, authentic life of prayer in our own being for decades? That is something that was real. 2016, we talk about. 17, we say, if the leaders are successful in maintaining and sustaining that reality and that value, how do we contagiously multiply and disciple our core group of team and leaders so that they will carry the same value and the organization will have the value of the leaders? And then this year, we talk about how do this team of leaders, how do we then multiply the value to the whole movement? Because one singular leader cannot carry the whole weight. We need teams of leaders that will steward the movement with diversity of gifting. So I believe the reason why the reset and all that the Lord is doing with us, and He will continue to do it deeper. He's not close to be done. Be ready the next 4 days. We're going to have a lot of tissue. Just bring the Kleenex and bring whatever brand of things that can wipe your fluid from your eyes and your nose. Yeah, I mean, some of us might not even know that Corey Russell this afternoon, I'm not going to lock him in, but he has a message that's related to weeping and tears. I mean, I'm just looking at the Lord and saying, God, what are you doing? So He's going to go very deep with us. And the reason why He's doing that is because the context is there's a big reset button that's needed by at least our own local storyline here in IHOP. After 20 years of doing this, we are in the green box here, green circle here. And that is equivalent to a big reset button, because institutionalization is not an option for IHOP. We could choose institution. We could do ISO 9000 system and standardize everything and do 24/7 on a mechanics. But life will go out so quickly. And all of us who sign up for IHOP, we left the mechanics in order to have real life in Christ. We are not opting for institutionalization, so we have no other option, but the Holy Spirit knows we need a big reset button. Amen? And you are in a different place in this whole cycle, and this is not the end of the road. It cycles back around, refresh itself. So I'm just going to leave that to you. We'll put it in your inbox. I will release it to you. You might have more questions. We can have dialogue throughout the year. But I just want to leave this as a resource to you.
Thank you for listening to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. This concludes the pre-launch of this podcast and also the keynote addresses from the 2018 summit. Next week, we are excited to be releasing new content, and we hope that you will continue to join us on this journey of advancing day and night worship and prayer.